Hello, beautiful souls.
We bring you conscious content filled with empowering information.
Designed to align you with the fulfilling freedom of activated awareness. Activated awareness.
Welcome to the Ecstatic Existence Podcast. Welcome back, listeners. Oh my goodness, it has been a long time. I am Rachel Alcyon, and I am here with my beautiful, beloved Daniel. Good to be here with you in this way.
Yeah, it feels good. Good to be back.
Really good. We took a hiatus from the show for a couple of years. We spent a few years bringing you really high vibe conscious content and interviewing a lot of amazing guests. We had so many cool guests on our show from all around the world. And so, listeners, if you're new and you haven't tapped into that, or maybe you were a longtime listener, those episodes are still available for you to go back and listen to. So if you really need a boost of love and light, that would be the place.
Yeah, we interviewed so many cool people and amazing leaders, health, wellness, spirituality, and a lot of really good, I guess you could say, feel-good techniques. There's all kinds of stuff that'll truly improve your life and help you live an ecstatic existence, because that is the name of the show, and that's what we're about.
That's what we're about.
But so now in this new incarnation, we're going to be bringing it to you a little different. But before we get into that, maybe we talk about what in the world we've been up to.
Yeah, because we have truly been living an ecstatic existence. And it's been an unconventional lifestyle and journey, and one that not too many people would even dare to go on. And we actually did, attempt to make an episode or two during the early days of our homesteading. And I got to tell you, friends, homesteading is like blood, sweat, tears, laughter. I mean, it took all of my personal bandwidth. I mean, getting raw land, cultivating it, setting up some semblance of an organized life, took a lot. It's not for the faint.
No, and we made a really conscious decision too. You only have so much resources. You only have so much available that you can apply. And so you picture if you have a pitcher of water and a whole bunch of little teeny shot glasses, you can pour so much into each one, but the pitcher of water itself actually has a lot more depth. So instead of like dispersing our energy and resources and time and effort and money and all of the above into a million projects, we really just focused it. We kept our pitcher full and focused it on building and establishing a life from the ground up, from a blackberry patch to a pretty nice little homestead. So that's where we've been for the last couple of years. And those of you who've been following us know some of our journey, but we will be talking a lot more about that stuff. That stuff's going to tie into the ecstatic existence, because the things that we're learning to do and teaching ourselves to do, learning some of the ways of the ancestors and the ways that people did it before us, before modern technology, is really important to living an ecstatic existence as we move on in mm-hmm. this world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and these are really crazy times, and so we want to equip you with the tools that you want to gain. I mean, we've gained a lot of tools, and we want to share them. So whatever resonates for you, take it, run with it. Over the course of our time together, we're going to be sharing a lot of really valuable resources and pointing you in directions that could be really helpful for what's to come.
And not like it's necessary, but I almost feel like a bit of a disclaimer is needed, that the topics that we get into as we proceed forward, not all of them are going to be comfortable. Not all of them are going to be easy. A lot of our previous material was really, I don't want to say lighthearted, because it's very, very, serious and deep information.
Yes, important work.
But it was really focused on, I guess, feeling good and how to make yourself feel good and healing, right? Well, in our continued knowledge that we've gained over these last couple of years, it's become really apparent that you can't fully heal unless you diagnose the problem.
Mm-hmm.
And so we are going to spend a lot of time diagnosing some of the problems that are going on with us as individual people on this planet, and how we all interact together, and this larger society that we all are a part of.
Yeah, because the goal is an ecstatic existence. And so we have to collectively be able to look at the dark, look at the issues, you know, maybe even really do a deep dive into the murk to see what's there and bring it to the light collectively in order to really live that ecstatic existence.
Yeah. If you have no idea what the causation is, or even you can't even look at the symptoms of something, how are you going to heal it? How are you going to move on and like fix the problem if you don't even know what the problem is? If you bring your car to a mechanic and you say, there's a noise happening in here, and he never even finds out what the noise is, you need to find out what it is first, right?
Yeah. And I think that that's a real issue that I'm pretty pissed about, is that people, like, I keep hearing repeatedly, like, this whole phrase of good vibes only. I'm like, fuck good vibes only. Good vibes only has gotten us into a lot of the mess that we're in right now as a species. And you can't only be floating on a meditation cloud totally ignorant of what's really going on.
Well, yeah, good vibes only are great as you're walking on down the street, because then, like, you walk right past the homeless people and the, you know, sick babies on the sidewalk, because right. Good vibes only, man. Don't harsh my vibe. Don't bring me down.
Right. Good vibes only is really from a heightened point of a privilege.
Yeah, and it's quite selfish.
Yeah.
Quite selfish. Yeah. To not acknowledge the pain and suffering and problems
and straight up evil
and evil that is in the world is a point of privilege and naivete
and ignorance
and selfishness.
Yeah. So we're going to be kind of like peeling back the veil and looking at a lot of the stuff, and like Daniel said, it might be a bit uncomfortable, and we'll give you a heads up, right? We're not going to just spring it on you, so there will be certain episodes where we'll go into that more in depth.
And so, I mean, what that looks like, some of these topics that we're going to be getting into.
A trigger warning.
Some of you may be, some of our listeners are very familiar with this and are probably so excited to hear that we're going to go there. And some of you might not have gone down this rabbit hole before, but some of the things we're going to be talking about are anarchy and the invalidity of government, how all government is slavery, and what the definition of natural law is, and how we can apply natural law to our lives.
Yeah, because natural law is there, it's functioning, and if you don't know what game you're in and you don't know the rules to the game, you're gonna get beat.
Yeah, good luck with that.
Yeah.
So on that, I'll just riff a little bit, because I'm a pretty avid chess player. I totally love chess. I think it's the world's most fascinating and timeless game, and there's so many lessons to learn from a game of chess. I find it very interesting. As a matter of fact, that there's so many possibilities and variabilities and moves that no two games have ever been played the same all the way through. Like, there's so many possibilities in a chess game that no two games have ever been the same. So every single one is unique. Well, this whole thing about playing the game, like Rachel's saying, if you don't know what the rules are, you're most certainly to get beat. But some people right now maybe are starting to wake up and open up their eyes a little bit and maybe feel like with some of these current government quarantines and whatnot might be a signal for them to start thinking, hey, that's a little overreaching. That doesn't feel right. Something feels wrong and awry here. Well, you, my friend, if that's where you are, just waking up to it, that's like you just realized that you're playing a chess game. You're in the middle of the game. It's been going on. You didn't even know the game was happening. And the opponent of the game is really well skilled and really well versed and has been studying chess for multiple generations. So they already know a long arcing game. They know finishing moves. They have multiple plans on any contingency. Because if you're a good chess player, you play about three or four different if-thens at any given time. So if you're just waking up to the fact there's a game going on and it's on right now, not saying it's too late, but you got your work cut out for you. So let's learn the rules of the game.
Yeah. So that's going to be exciting, Daniel, to share some of the more esoteric, occulted, hidden information with the public. And then the other cool thing, too, is that then they can share it, because that's what's happening right now, is people need to become aware of what is really going on and then using their own voice to, you know, to be a bit of a maven and share with their own communities.
And it's the personal sharing that makes the most difference, because yes, we can all share on our social medias. You can post things. When you post things in text, it doesn't have your vibration signature on it. It doesn't have your authenticity with it. And it's very easy for people to invalidate. So when maybe you hear something that we're going to discuss and it's a new topic to you and you're lit up about it, talk with people in person about this. Bring the subject up, like, you know, around the dinner table or around the campfire or whatever. It's going to be really important.
And I think those are some of the juiciest conversations a human could even have.
Not boring.
Like, all the other stuff is fluff. Like, what's even the point? Like, you got to go into the...
Yeah, into the juice.
Into the juice. We also want to bring a lot of information to you, practical information about homesteading, animal husbandry, like, basic survival techniques.
Yeah, off-grid energy. We'll talk about, like, creative building solutions. I mean, out here, homesteading, we've gotten really creative with some of our material sourcing and even some design things that we've done.
Yeah, gardening, food preservation, handling your own shit.
Yeah, natural remedies. Literally handling your own shit. So there will be a whole episode about this, I'm sure. It's a whole episode. But just in short, think about this. We live in a society that, on a literal sense, people are afraid to handle their own shit. They're afraid of it. They want it to be out of sight, out of mind, as quickly as possible, and don't want to have any dealings with it. So when it's as above, so below, and everything in the physical world works in the metaphysical as well, we're a world that doesn't know how to handle our own shit.
Well, and we've been sold a false facade, a false, you know, bill of goods about what an ecstatic existence is. I mean, I think that there's a lot of people that are still stuck in the paradigm of an ecstatic existence is, you know, a gigantic house and a bunch of fancy cars. And I mean, sure, that's can be really exciting. And, but at what cost, right?
Yeah.
Like what is, that isn't a holistic approach to an ecstatic existence when, you know, you're depleting the planet to have your existence. So we have to like really live, resourcefully.
Well, and then you got to wonder, too, how ecstatic of an existence is it if, like, maybe you're really excited about your new phone for the first couple months, and then when they drop the new one, you are all jelly and waiting, you know, waiting to throw yours over your shoulder and get a new one. So,
yeah, to a landfill in India.
Yeah.
The little kids have to run barefoot through.
And smash it with a hammer and then burn it in a big pile to reduce its mineral metals out of. So how ecstatic are you if you're always looking for the next thing? In the consumer culture, you will never, ever arrive at true happiness because it's designed that way. They want you to keep buying.
Yeah, and it's functioning on like a self-destructive model. That is not ecstatic existence. So, you know, we've been really diving into the ways of our ancestors, and I just really encourage all of you to do that. Like, think about those people. Think about the fortitude and the lineage of the people that you came from. And like, sure, whatever. They may have had their dysfunctions and their plethora of issues, and maybe some of them were good people and some of them were, you know, deemed bad people. But nonetheless, it took them collectively to make you. And there's so many nuggets of wisdom that have traveled through the generations of DNA to this moment so that you could be here now. And I want to know what those people knew.
Yeah, it's just one of Rachel's favorite things is to wonder how did people do this before now? So like, what were the toilet habits a couple hundred years ago? What was food preservation like? Mm-hmm. So some of this stuff is all spurred by our own personal life because, you know, we live without refrigeration by choice and have for a couple of years now. So even little things like that, when that initially happened, the refrigerator in the RV we were living in went out, and instead of replacing it, Rachel started digging in and saying, how did people do it before refrigerators? What if we don't replace it?
Yeah, because part of living a full life that's filled with joy and a lot of richness is knowing and trusting that you're like fine no matter what. It's like anything that comes at you, you're going to be totally unwavering. And it's about assessing your dependencies and looking at your weaknesses. So if you're life is built on a structure where you have to have a refrigerator, that's a pretty fucking fragile existence. Like, if you literally can't thrive
or survive
without that, that's a pretty strong dependency.
Yeah, and I even think of something, you know, the phone is like such a long tunnel we can go down there. It's a self-own. Think about that for a second. But, you know, I think of when I was a teenager, I probably had maybe a dozen of my closest friends' phone numbers memorized.
Memorized, even.
The only number I know other than my own is Rachel's. If I was stuck somewhere, I wouldn't even know who to call. Because I have now, the technology has become a crutch so much that I don't have to memorize the numbers. So they're gone. They're just not in there. It's the same with even, you know, simple math functions. Is people, because you have a calculator in your pocket, people resort to using that instead of, like, figuring it out. So the technologies we use become a crutch. Yeah. Just like that refrigerator. You're leaning on that thing real strong.
And I think that it is. It's that kind of temporary facade of false security. Like, I'm not a total Luddite. Or am I? No, I'm not.
I'm partway.
I'm not a total Luddite. I mean, here we are using some technology to deliver these messages to you, sweet listeners. But, yeah, I think it's really a valuable skill where you can say, wow, what do I truly need to be happy and to be just completely immersed in beauty? You know, like, our life is not lacking in beauty. Everywhere I look, there's so much beauty.
And just throwing this in, this comes into like the creativity and self-sufficiency and resourcefulness. It doesn't have to come at a price. I would say the huge majority of things that come into our life are free.
Free.
More than not. I just came home with a whole truckload of stuff from a buddy's house. He had too much stuff. He's cleaning out. And so anything that I could find useful, I was helping him by removing it from his place and bringing it over here and putting it to use. So when Rachel says we're surrounded by beauty, that doesn't mean it cost a fortune.
Well, and then we were, you know, we're in these pseudo-forced lockdowns. And so, normally I would be a thrifter, a thrift store goer, and that's all unavailable right now. And so I was just like, man, Daniel, it's been like 2 months. I've been like jonesing for some junk. I just gotta get me some junk just to jazz things up. And so we have a neighbor who has a little tiny old cottage that is quite dilapidated, falling down.
Like, it's been there untouched for 40 years.
Since like in the 20s. It's like so old. And it's filled with all the same old shit. So I just went, I said, hey, can I go look in your little shack, your shanty? And they let me, and I came out with so many wonderful treasures. Total garbage junk.
Yeah. But seriously, this person's trash became Rachel's treasure.
Oh, and I just said, oh, thank you. Thank you for this free stuff that's, you know, gonna make my garden beautiful, or like a sweet little old vintage pitcher that I can put flowers in.
Yeah, or maybe she'll pull out some like old ceramic bowl that's like faded and maybe has a little chip in the thing, and like somebody could
favorite.
Easily call it garbage and throw it out, but it has character and like life to it. So that's the kind of thing we'll be talking about as well.
What else are we gonna tell him? We got a little list.
Well, one of the things
here
that I'm most excited about is actually demystifying anarchy for people.
Oh yeah, well, we kind of touched on that a little
bit.
Not enough, he says.
So people have really bought into the image that the word anarchy means destruction, means chaos.
It means like car bombs and
yeah, or like the purge or something, you know. When that's
no,
exactly
no rules.
What the theys of the world want the common belief of anarchy to be, whereas true anarchy is not that at all. And we're going to demystify that and talk about it a lot. And we're gonna. I would love to add some credibility to that word enough so that more people proudly claim it.
Would you say, Daniel, that anarchy is freedom?
Yes.
Wonderful.
By definition, I would.
Cool.
So when people will ask, you know, like, oh, whatever, I'll meet somebody out at a store or something and start chatting, and they'll kind of drop some kind of Republican or Democrat thing, and I'm proud to say, I'm an anarchist. I don't subscribe to either of these parties. They're both invalid. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. I hope
that... And in fact, slavery. Yeah. They are the antithesis of freedom.
Yeah. Let's see. Do I want my oppressor to be wearing a blue jacket or a red jacket? Anyway, we'll talk a lot about
that. Yeah, that's going to be super fun. We're lit up about that. You know, you mentioned the theys. Who are the theys? We're going to be getting into that as well.
A lot.
So, you know, the global control agenda.
The theys of the world are the dark occultists that are running the governments and satanic corporations elite. Of the planet.
Yeah. So, you know, that might be one where we'll have to probably have a trigger warning for, you know, we'll be getting into the, you know, like the pedophile rings and some of these really kind of just, heavier subjects that most dare not go. But we're, you know what, we're ready to go there. We're ready to just shine the light of love and illumination onto it. And it's time, friends. It is time.
Yeah, you know, topics like 5G and what that really means, and is it all hype, or are we accurate in being worried about this rollout? You know, things like the shit that they're spraying out of airplanes into the skies that people see all over the world. We're going to be talking about that.
Yeah, and then how to protect yourself.
That's right. The big one.
That's really the big one. I mean, when we go to these places, it is always with the intention that we're bringing awareness so that you can know what to do. Because if you don't even know that things are happening, you don't know how to protect yourself, and you don't know how to choose something different, and then you don't even have the informed choice of saying yes or no. And if you don't know, then they take your silence as consent.
Yes. Absolutely. And so, you know, some people might even say, some people do tell Rachel this often because she stays pretty active. She's been really active in the social media and sharing some of this
going waves.
Yeah. Some of this less popular or like more, out of the mainstream narrative information. Rachel's been really good at sharing that stuff. And she'll have people lash back at her and basically say like, well, why are you paying attention to this negative stuff? What, I mean, what's the point of this? It's just going to bring everybody down and bum us all out.
Well, that's another version of good vibes only.
Yep. And but there's the thing. It's like, if the boat is sinking, the boat's on fire, someone needs to run around and say, everybody, the boat's on fire. Mm-hmm. And then even more important is if you can say, and the life raft's over there.
Mm-hmm. And that's really the main reason why we have made a comeback. I mean, we really are feeling a lot of energetic movement. We're feeling a lot of intensity, a lot of power, as I'm sure many of you are. And I know that there are a lot of people that feel helpless. There's a lot of people that are rife with depression and anxiety and don't know what to do, and they don't know where to turn, and they don't know even what to believe. And we're really here to help. We're here to help. And we're here to anchor in some grounding and some truth.
So there is a huge part to the New Age thing of, you know, believe in the world you want to be, or, you know, think of and acknowledge the world that you want to be. That's kind of a good vibes only thing. Well, we're going to give you some of that, but we need to point out what's going on first, right? Like, hey, the boat's on fire. Life vest's over there. There's the lifeboat. Here's how you get on it. Here's how you row the thing. And the thing is, I was a little bit pissed this morning. I was a little bit grumpy earlier.
Yeah, we had a little bit of a loving couple bicker back and forth.
Because it stirred a little things up about even getting this microphone out again and starting this process. Because to tell you what, I love all of you listeners. I'm so glad that you're putting this in your ears out of all the 5 billion podcasts that are out there in the world now. I don't want to be doing this. This is for real. I would rather be working on my homestead. I brought some trees home yesterday. I'd rather be planting the trees. I'd rather be like watering lettuce. I'd rather be making some sick beats over there in my music studio.
Yeah, we have a million animals that just would love for us to be tending to them constantly.
Man, like there's so many things I would rather be doing. But the thing is, it's boiling up inside me enough that I'm witnessing a critical point in society and in civilization, especially with this global agenda that there aren't countries anymore. This is worldwide. And so it's so intense. Like, someone has to say it. And the other thing is, a lot of the real truth tellers and way showers, there's another thing too, all through this show, we will be dropping all kinds of names and resources and the people that we learn from, the people that have taught us tremendously. So, but the thing is, these people that are truth tellers, their videos are disappearing. You might find one, and then you try to share it with a friend. By the time your friend clicks that link, the video's been deleted. Yeah. And that's because we have a monopoly on information, that the two biggest funnels of information on the planet right now are Facebook and Google, which is YouTube, all the same. They're the ones that are highly censoring anything that falls outside of the mainstream narrative. So when I see that more and more, I'm like, oh shit, it's time. Like, if it's not us, then who? Like, so I'm going to shout it from the mountaintops until I can't physically, or until technologically it doesn't work anymore. Like, it's our job.
Yeah, like all the big names that have been warning us of what's coming for the last 30, 20, 15, 10, 5 years are now silenced.
Yep, they're being silenced.
So those of us who have been studying and doing the work for the last couple of decades, it's up to us now. And no, they didn't want to do it either. So many of them were like, I would rather do a million other things. There's so many creative projects that all of these great minds have been preferring to do, but they love humanity so much that they're like, all right, there's a need. I got to step up. And now Daniel and I are finding ourselves in that space as well. I mean, we live in a paradise. We have created our own mini ecosystem that is total Shangri-La. Like we are creating our own Shambhala here at Sublimity Sanctuary, which, please reach out to us. If you want to come and get a little one-on-one or, you know, a taste of what kind of heaven could be, yeah, reach out, come out. We love hosting people.
Yeah, small group events, etc.
Yeah, so. And that's what we want to inspire you to do, you know, because you are a creator. You have the creative God force flowing through your veins. It's your magic. And so create your own ecstatic existence, get your own piece of paradise set up, and then teach your friends, teach your family, teach everybody else how to do that as well. And you got to be clear in what you're saying no to.
Yeah. And the word no is very sacred and gets very forgotten. And no works on a couple levels, right? There's N-O. No! Which is what I want to scream at the top of my lungs to all this bullshit going on, all the governmental control, all the governments forcing people to close businesses and putting their whole lives at stake.
The lies, the abuse of our most innocent beings, our children and animals.
Yeah, I just want to scream no as loud constantly as I can. So, I mean, without even going down the whole rabbit hole, the governor of Washington State, where we live, recently made a speech that I found absolutely horrifying. And in no uncertain terms, if you change a couple words, sounds like Nazi programs and paradigm. It really does. So the fact that that speech was given publicly and not a single person in the audience stood up and said the word no.
Like tackled him off his podium and said, fuck this.
Whatever you're saying, no. We don't want it. So nobody did that. And the fact that nobody did that, that's why I'm talking to you today. Mm-hmm. Is because nobody else did it.
Mm-hmm. Woo! We're back, baby.
We're back,
baby. We are back. Well, so, anyway, so fun. And I guess we all picked this time to be here, right? Part of me is just like, my God, why did I choose the epicenter of this crazy time?
Because you got work to do.
Because I got work to do. So it's time to step up. You know, and even just yesterday I said, Daniel, I feel like something's kind of missing in my life. I haven't felt this way in a while. And then we came to the conclusion, oh yes, because we got to do this podcast. We got to say some things. I got to be of service, you know, in the best way that I can. It's like I haven't been able to do a lot of body work and, you know, get my hands on people and really be a conduit of healing in the way that I'm used to. And so this is it. This is the way that we can be of service. And it's to teach you what we know so that you can be empowered and you can make really clear decisions and you can feel sovereign under any circumstance and you can feel secure in your own capabilities.
And
that's fucking ecstatic.
It is.
Like, it gets me lit up. Like every time, like we just learned a new technique of how to preserve eggs, raw eggs for up to 2 years. I'm like, every time I think about it, I like want to do cartwheels and jumping jacks and be like, woo! How don't the people know? Oh my God, an egg can last for 2 years without refrigeration. Like it, I get lit up when I find out these old ways.
And so that's the kind of thing we'll talk about in some of like the homesteading and food preservation stuff. So hopefully, okay, once again, this is what we want to do. We want to be the people running around and saying, hey, there's a problem here. The boat's on fire, but we're not going to leave you there hanging and panicking. We're going to point you to the life raft and tell you what the way out of the burning ship is.
Mm-hmm.
That's the important part.
Yeah. I mean, because, and we have been talking about this this imaging for a while, Daniel and I, trying to figure out who are all the people that are on the Titanic, right? Because we have the Titanic, it's cracked in half, it's sinking, it supposedly hit a iceberg.
Yeah.
Although that was a potentially a controlled sink as well. Something fun for you to look into. But you have a huge population on the ship that has, you know, maybe the captain said, everybody just go back to your rooms. Everything's going to be fine. Just go stay in your room. And so they all do. These people are on this ship that's burning and sinking into the ice. And they're just like hunkered down in their bedrooms. Like, well, they told us to stay inside. That's probably not you. I don't think that those people are reachable. Those people are going down with the ship. I love them. It fucking breaks my heart every time I think about how unreachable those people are.
Then you have the people
Their choice. They're staying in their room. They're going down with the ship. What's our other grouping?
Well, you have another group of people that are only concerned with saving themselves and will literally scramble over other people to just self-preserve and preserve themselves, putting other people in harm's way specifically to save themselves. So there's another group of people that are out there.
Well, and then you have the people that are on the deck that, you know, are just paralyzed in fear. And I spoke with a friend of mine who is a flight attendant, and she, oh man, she had a word for it. I forget what it's called, but they teach them in the training that, like, people, when the plane goes down and they're told to get on the life raft or the ship goes down and they will be like
frozen, paralyzed,
completely frozen, dumbfounded, or in total hysterics, and it's all so terrifying and horrific that they don't even know what to do.
And some people are probably even in denial and like, the plane's not sinking, I'm just going to keep watching the on-flight movie. Turn
right,
the volume up
right,
a little bit.
Right, it's, you know, they're too tired, they're too scared. You know, maybe they aren't empowered enough with the tools to be able to snap out of the fear and the anxiety and the paralysis to spring into action. You know, so they need somebody to come to them and say, hey, do you want help? I will lead you to the life raft.
Yep.
You know, then you've got the other ones that are totally, you know, they are doing somewhat of a service. They're keeping people calm, but it's also a bit of a distraction. These are the good vibes only. They're like,
they're the orchestra.
They're the orchestra.
Yep.
They're
keep the good vibes going as just, the ship sinks.
Yep. Yep. And I do, there's an aspect of that I appreciate. There's a beauty in it, and you're not really helping, you know? You're not getting the people on the life raft. You're just playing them nice lullabies to keep them calm.
Yep.
So, you know, and then you've got the people that are on the life raft. They're like, I got myself here, or somebody helped me get here. But now that I'm on the raft, what do I do? Like, I don't know how to put on the vest. I don't know how to tread water. I don't know where we're going. I've never rowed a boat before. They don't have the actual skills. They have enough awareness that everything is a frenzied chaos, but they don't have tangible skills. So this podcast is going to be some of that for you. And we've got all our animals in here. You want to paint the scene, Daniel? We're in our tiny house that my incredible lover built for us.
You want me to paint the scene, huh? Okay, so we're sitting at our table in our little 200 square foot home.
Our tiny one room schoolhouse.
Recording at our little dining room table. There is a three-legged beagle sitting on our couch about 4 or 5 feet away from us that just stood up and shook. You might have heard that.
Trinity.
There is a little retired show dog, grand champion toy fox terrier.
Oh, he's got trauma.
That is traumatized, named Oliver. He's sleeping just right next to Trini. So anyway, we've got all these
animals. I've got a Twyla Verity, my sweet kitty cat, on my lap.
And I have a little Isadora Inez, a little chihuahua on my lap, too. It's kind of ridiculous.
It's kind of ridiculous. But the best. Yeah. So much fun. Oh my goodness.
One other thing that I'd really love to do in this new iteration of the show, we're going to see how this plays out, but I'd love for you all to contact us and be in communication. Mm-hmm. So like, because a lot of these topics we go into, we're not trying to be experts. We're not trying to be your guru. We're not trying to be an expert. Okay. But I hope that we can share enough information to get you to become your own expert and get you to do the deeper dive and look in more resources and like say, oh, I didn't even know that was a topic. Mm-hmm. Now I can look into it more from people that are, you know, really specialize in those areas.
And then you'll get into the camp where like, wow, the more you know, the less you know.
Yeah.
I do hours and hours of research every day on a plethora of topics, depending on my mood and what I can handle emotionally and spiritually, psychologically, right? Because some stuff's really intense. And then you got to just be like, oh, wow, I just went down a whole rabbit hole of intensity. I think I need to only learn about gardening for the next couple of days. So anyway, tons of research, plethora of subjects, and
we want to connect with you. So reach out on any, you know, any of the social media platforms you can find Ecstatic Existence. We're also going to start incorporating some video. We're going to be doing some more live video stuff. And broadcasts. Mm-hmm. So that'll probably be on the YouTube channel, maybe on the FB, whatever.
Because we haven't even shown our faces you haven't even been on social media for over a year.
No, people don't even know what I look like.
No.
I look like a different guy.
He looks like Jizo. He's like bearded with long hair.
And hand tats.
And I haven't really showed face much either. I have been in that cesspool of Facebook, that toxic soup. You know what, though? It's important, though, to dip in.
Well, it's a good way to get your finger on the pulse, and it's a good way to, you know, mix your voice into the melee.
And until we choose another platform, I gotta just say some things over there.
Yeah. So...
Oh, well, I'm also on Instagram.
Yeah. How can they find you on Instagram?
Sublimity Sanctuary.
Which is the name of our beautiful property here.
Yeah. And, we're going to get more organized.
Yeah, this, you know, this first one right here, this was just kind of like off the cuff. This was almost spontaneous just because things were so real and so pressing. And the time is now to just like make your voices heard. It's time to connect with neighbors and to network and to start assessing what your own resources are. Yeah, we could talk about this forever.
Yeah, and so okay, so we've covered what we're going to be sharing. Oh, you know, I'd also love to, as it seems fitting, incorporate interviews with people that are on the front lines of truth telling.
That's right. Just like we have before, the model of the show earlier, the earlier incarnation of Ecstatic Existence,
which is really good stuff, still
largely a lot of interviews with amazing people, because our goal too there was to share different modalities, different methods, different approaches, because not the same formula works for everybody. So we figured if we could share, you know, hundreds of different healers and specialists around the world, then you'll find something that resonates with you. Mm-hmm. So we still want to do that, because not everyone's going to tell it the same way, and everyone has a different expertise. And so we will be, you know, when the time is right, working in some more guests in the truth and freedom movements.
Yeah, that's going to be fun. I'm excited to
and
see
you're exciting.
Who they are. I am exciting. Yeah, we're not boring. So both of our energies are pretty intense. And so how can we leave people feeling really inspired, really lit up, really grounded, really safe? What you got, lover?
You know how? I want you to talk to these people for a moment longer while I find something to read.
Oh, he's got a quote of sorts. That's going to be fun. Yeah, friends, you're not victims. You get to choose exactly what you want your life to look like. Eyes wide open, heart centered.
We are all writing our own autobiographies, okay? Individually and collectively. That all moves into a collective. So it's up to us. It's up to us, man. And that idea right there is what I want to leave you with today. This is it's called We Are the Ones We've Been Waiting For. This came out 20 years ago. So 20 years ago in the year 2000, the Hopi Elders Conference gathered, and this is some of the knowledge and wisdom that came out of it. And even being 20 years old, it just seems very, very appropriate right now that we're in 2020. It's like doubly relevant.
It's really good. It's so good.
So I'm going to leave you with this today, and we're really excited to be back. Take this message to your heart. You've been telling people that this is the 11th hour. Now you must go back and tell the people that this is the hour, and there are things to be considered. Where are you living? What are you doing? What are your relationships? Are you in right relation? Where is your water? Know your garden. It is time to speak your truth. Create your community. Be good to each other. And do not look outside of yourself for your leader. Then he clasped his hands together, smiled, and said, "This could be a good time. There is a river flowing now, very fast. It is so great and swift that there are those who will be afraid. They will try and hold on to the shore. They will feel they are being torn apart and will suffer greatly. Know that the river has its destination. The elders say we must let go of the shore, push off into the middle of the river, keep our eyes open and our heads above the water. And I say, see who is in there with you and celebrate. At this time in history, we are to take nothing personally, least of all ourselves. For the moment that we do, spiritual growth and journey come to a halt. The time of the lone wolf is over. Gather yourselves. Banish the word struggle from your attitude and your vocabulary. All that we do now must be done in a sacred manner and in celebration. We are the ones we've been waiting for."
So with that, listeners, we thank you. Our hearts are filled with so much gratitude for you and this opportunity. We're rising up, and you're invited to join.
Fight the power.